this week of joy.
The first Advent candle represents hope, because the prophets hoped and longed for a Savior.
The second Advent candle represents peace, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace.
The third Advent candle is the candle of joy. This candle represents joy, because the coming of the Savior brought great joy to all creation.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them.
Does Mary treasure up all these things and ponder them in her heart?
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The third week of Advent also represents joy, because we also rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We relight the candle of hope. We relight the candle of peace. We light the candle of joy. Let us pray. Our God, who brought joy at Christmas, we rejoice and praise your name. Thank you for the joy that Jesus brought at the first Christmas, for the joy that Christ brings to our lives today, and for the joy that will be ours when Christ comes again.
Rise for the unison scripture reading. Today we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 56, and that's page 856 in your pew Bible. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, I'm Pastor Steve, and first I want to commend many of you who were involved with the children's Christmas party yesterday. I mean, I came and I saw parts of it, and just the setup and things like that was so impressive, and you guys worked very, very hard, so praise the Lord for that. And thank God for many children who came and parents. And we want to continue to pray for them because these are sort of like long-term seeds that are planted in these children. And so hopefully with all the distractions that we have at Christmas time, they will really grasp the real meaning of Christmas. So we're thankful for all of you who worked very, very hard in this regard. I grew up in, I was born in Boston, and I grew up in Cambridge. My father had a laundry in Harvard Square, and I went to elementary school and high school in Cambridge. And perhaps from sixth grade on, I had a classmate whose name was Steve Darcy. And that may not mean anything to you, but his father was the principal of the school, both the elementary school and later on to the high school as well. And principals, you know, especially when school's your kind of like your whole life when you're young, I was afraid of principals, you know. Whenever the principal would come by, I would, you know, make sure I would act in a very dignified way and make sure I'm looking like I'm paying attention to the teacher, et cetera, et cetera. But here it is, my classmate, Steve Darcy, whose father was the principal. And he could drop into the principal's office anytime he wanted, just about. He would ride home sometimes in the car with the principal. And whenever he saw him in school, he'd say, "Hi, Dad," you know, and stuff like that. And I thought it was, wow, that's really privileged. This is really cool. And I was always wonder if, you know, he kind of got these extra things because maybe the teachers were afraid of him as well, because his father's their boss. And so I don't know if he got, like, the benefit of the doubt in the grading and things like that. And so I always thought that, wow, it would be awesome if, you know, if my dad was the principal, okay? Well, this morning I want to look at Mary. And we understand that Mary, in some sense, was, you might say, a privileged person. She was chosen to be the mother of Jesus, right? And you would think, wow, you know, to have that kind of relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? I mean, that would be awesome to have that kind of relationship. And yet, later on, we're going to show to you that you can be blessed in the same way, all right? And you may say, oh, no, you know, Mary is very unique, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, she was in some ways. But there are many ways that she can be a model for us in a way, shows to us how we can receive as much blessing as she did as well. We are in a series during December, particularly drawing from the Gospel of Luke. and it's entitled Welcome to Our World. And we're basically saying, how did the world welcome the Son of God? How did they welcome Jesus into this world? And so last week we were introduced by Pastor Tom to the fact that Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. And Mary was perhaps a teenager at this time, that people got married fairly early in those days. And so she was probably, you know, like one of those teens out there, right? 14, 15, 16, somewhere in that era. And she was already betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothed is sort of like an engagement, but it's probably a little bit a step higher than engagement. That during this betrothal period, they were considered married, all right? But they did not live together, nor could they have sex together, all right? But they lived separately. But if they decided not to get married, they would have to get a divorce in order to separate. That's how serious this betrothal was. And so this betrothal period was probably about a year in length. And during this time, the angel comes to Mary. And it's mentioned a number of times that Mary is a virgin. She has not had sex with anyone. And so Gabriel comes and announces to her that she is going to become pregnant with, you know, the Son of God within her. And so it's not in your program, but let me just kind of read for you as background, chapter 1, verse 30, where the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Well, what was Mary's response? She was asking how. She said, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel responds to her question of how with not explaining to her how, but in some sense pointing to who, right? Who's going to do this? And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And so Mary responded to what the angel said by saying, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So here it is. The angel comes to Mary out of the blue. She never had an angel visit her. She didn't think she was anybody special. She felt she was a very ordinary teenage person. And all of a sudden, this angel announces to her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. So apparently, certainly Mary, as a Jewish girl, would understand that there has been this promise of a Messiah from long ago. And people were waiting for this Messiah. And here it is that the angel announces to her that God was going to use her to give birth to the Messiah. And she didn't understand that because she said, "I've never had sex. I'm a virgin." All right? And the angel responds and says, "Well, God can do it, you know. For nothing will be impossible with God." So basically, yeah, I can't explain to you all the details, but just trust God. He'll do it. He can do it. All right? And so you can imagine the impact this has on Mary, recognizing that she will become the human mother of this long-awaited Messiah. This Messiah who is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords for all eternity. Wow, what an awesome privilege that she has. And you might wonder, well, why is God doing it this way? Why does God do it? Well, part of God's plan, as he saw that the world was sinful and needed salvation, as he loved the world, that his plan to save the world was to send this Messiah. But this Messiah had to be a human being. It was not, in the Old Testament, they had this Old Testament sacrifices. And they would kill goats and lambs and sacrifice at the temple. And they would shed their blood at the altar, signifying the loss of life in order to atone for sins. But the Bible says that that was just like a preview. It didn't really take away their sins. In some sense, they were waiting for the real Lamb of God, that is Jesus, to come and to take away their sins. Because, you know, goats and lambs, they can't represent us because we are human beings. I just can't take an ant and say, well, you know, you're my representative and you're going to die for my sins, and I just squash it and, you know, expect that my sins would be forgiven. It wouldn't work that way, right? You would have to have someone who's like us. Neither could it be some angel who could come, or some extraterrestrial person or something come here and say, oh, I'm going to die for your sins. It had to be someone, a human being, like one of us. And so Mary represents that part. That's why the Messiah had to go through Mary. And a human being had to be chosen to which to bear this child. And Jesus would be born of Mary, and he would be a unique human being in the sense that he never sinned. He was lived a perfect life. And so that's why he was both God and man. And so he could represent all the human race. He was perfect. He was holy. He never sinned. And so he didn't have his own sins to die for. Therefore, he could therefore take the sins of the whole world. And Mary particularly was chosen because she is the descendant of Abraham. God had chosen Abraham and said, I am going to work this salvation through your descendants. And someone in one of your descendants will bless the world and help save the world. And also later on, he said this to David and said, okay, one of your descendants will be the Messiah. And so Mary was also a descendant of David as well. And so the reason why the virgin birth is important is because the sin, the original sin of Adam and Eve, in some sense, filtered down through all of humanity, through, you might say, the fathers. Okay? And what I'm talking about is when Adam and Eve sin, in some sense, we all sin. Okay? Because he was our representative there. And we were, in some sense, all our genes or whatever you want to call it, were all there. And so we have this guilt of even Adam's sin, the original sin. And so this sin was passed on to the fathers, but Jesus didn't have a human father, okay? But only it was through the Holy Spirit that he was conceived. He had a human mother, but not a human father. And so he was unique in that way so that he could be our representative. And that's why God did this. And so God chose Mary. And so that's my first point on the outline. God's choice of Mary. And so after this was announced to Mary, Mary went to go see Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin, and she was an older woman. She was, you know, we said that Mary was a teenager. Elizabeth was probably 70, 80 years old, okay? And she's having a baby, all right? And so this was like a sign that God gave to her to show to her that, you know, I'm going to do this. And so Mary was so astounded, and so she said, I am going to go and visit Elizabeth, my cousin, and see this miracle. And so in verse, in the passage that was read, verse 39, Mary arose and went haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And it's probably like a 3-day journey. And when she entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, it says the baby leaped in her womb. Okay? And, you know, this is a side note here, but at 6 months, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant at this point. And so, definitely the baby was a person, because the baby leaped with joy, it later said. And so, blobs of tissue don't have joy, right? People have joy. And so, you know, it has a lot to do with, you know, this abortion issue and things like that, but we won't talk about it here today. But I just, you know, point that out to you, that this baby expressed joy. This baby, which is John the Baptist, unborn baby, was a person already. And so Elizabeth, when she sees Mary, it mentions that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That means she was controlled by the Holy Spirit. This was miraculously revealed to her, because she didn't know that Mary was pregnant also, but this was revealed to her through the Holy Spirit. And so she said, blessed are you, in verse 42, are you among women? Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment in what was spoken to her from the Lord. I want you to note, obviously, she saying that Mary was very blessed and being chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of Jesus, she is blessed. And so in verse 42, it says, blessed are you among women. I mean, what an honor to be able to be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. But in verse 45, it praises her, but it also, in some sense, generalizes what she did. It says in verse 45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And so it's saying to us, what particularly stands out about Mary is that she believed. She had faith. That even as the angel gave her this, you know, fantastic, you know, prediction that would happen, she believed. She didn't say, oh no, can't happen, it's impossible. You know? But she was saying, let it happen as you said. All right? That's what, so she expressed faith in what God revealed to her. And so I want you to kind of remember that, because in some sense we're going to come back to that point, because this is something that would apply to all of us. Because we also can, God can reveal certain things to us, particularly through His Word, and it depends on how we respond to it, whether we believe it or not. And so, please note also that Mary and Elizabeth is calling her that she is blessed by God. All right? Now, I know that there's some people who, in some sense, worship Mary, right? some people who would say, we need to pray to Mary. We need to ask her to bless us. But if we read the Bible, it's the other way around. Mary is receiving blessing from God. And we see this even more in her Magnificat, which is this song of praise that she says to the Lord in verses 46 to 55. And it's called the Magnificat because the Latin translation of that begins with the word Magnificat, which means to magnify the Lord. And so let's just look at this briefly. Verse 45, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Please notice that. Some people think that Mary is a co-redemptrix. That is, she also paid for our sins. But according to the Bible, she acknowledged that God is saving her. Right? What is she being saved from? Well, it's not like she was in some imminent danger, right? It's talking about being saved from her sins. That she recognizes that she is a sinner before God, and God is providing salvation, particularly through this Messiah. And so, as you read this, you would also recognize that she is a recipient of blessing from God. As for he has looked on my humble estate, in verse 48, of his servant. And so she recognized she is blessed by God. Not the other way around, that we go to her and get blessing. She has received blessing from God. But not only did she receive blessing, but other people have received blessing as well. Because in verse 48, in the middle, it says, for behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. That in verse 50, Mary is in some sense enlarging this praise to all of us. That God shows mercy to those who fear him from generation to generation. In other words, she's talking about us, right? She's talking about us potentially, that if we fear God, God will show his mercy to us as well. Not only showing blessings to Mary, but she's saying she will show blessing upon us, those of us who fear him. And he goes on to talk about how God will right the injustices of the world. Now, I know Pastor Tom talked a little bit about injustices in the world. We live in a world that is filled with injustices. But in some sense, Mary is talking about the future. I know it's sort of using a different tense here, but sometimes as they make predictions, they talk about it as having happened because it's so sure that it's going to happen. And so Mary, in some sense, is predicting that somehow God is going to make everything right into the future. That those people who are oppressed, those who are meek, those who are hungry, they will be blessed by God, that God will turn things around eventually. And then he concludes with talking about Israel, that the fact that God had made predictions about how he was going to save the world. And he made it to Abraham, and he said to Abraham that he was going to bless the world through his descendants. And so Mary is talking about the blessings that Israel will receive as well, in particularly into the future. And Mary, certainly is able to praise God not only for her blessings to her, because she felt like, I'm a nobody. I'm an insignificant person. And yet God has blessed me. And God will also bless those who fear Him and the nation of Israel as well. And so I want to, we look at Mary and sometimes we sort of think, well, she was kind of unique. I mean, in some ways, she is unique because she's the mother of Jesus. She's the mother of, you know, this Son of God, King of Kings, you know, Lord of this universe. But God is saying to us, we can be blessed as much as Mary. You say, how could that be? How can we be blessed that much? And so we see God's choice of Mary, and Mary is moved to magnify. That's point two. But point three is God's choice of me. That is, if you are a Christian, God has chosen you. Just like God chose Mary, in some sense. Because you may say, she's awfully unique. You know, I mean, God chose her. All the women in the world, she chose Mary to bear the Son of Jesus. And that's an awesome privilege. But the Bible also says that God has chosen us as well. Let me read for you three verses that talk about that. John 15:16, and you can jot these references down because I want you to, you know, make sure that I'm not taking these out of context. But John 15:16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Now, I became a Christian when I was about 12 years old. I came from a non-Christian home. We never talked about God. I didn't understand what Christmas was all about. I never read the Bible. I didn't understand who this Jesus was. But some neighbors of ours in Cambridge invited my brother and I to go to church. And that was the first time I ever heard of God's Word, the Bible. And it was shown to me that, oh, this Jesus died for my sins. And in the beginning, I was a little bit skeptical because I said, that sounds a little bit strange. But maybe there are other gods out there, you know, maybe there are other religions. And so maybe I should check them out. So I've literally bought a book about religions, you know, just to kind of look at what are the different types of religions. And what are the different choices? I thought it was sort of like going into a restaurant and, you know, trying to pick what you want, right? Oh, this one looks pretty good, you know, and whatever. So you want like a little description of each of the religions. And so I actually took some time to read a book about religions and trying to understand what each religion taught. But slowly but surely, God was pointing me toward true Christianity. And talking about how I was a sinner and God sent His Son to die for my sins. And I just needed to have faith in Him and trust in Him and respond to Him. And so I thought I was choosing God. All right? I was thinking like, oh, of all these different religions, I'm going to pick Christianity. Okay? And that verse I just read says, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Oh, how did that work? Well, listen to the second passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God," and this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." So it says, that passage tells us when He chose us. Even before He created the world, He knew that I would exist, and He chose me. Wow. I mean, I could see Mary, you know, getting chosen, but I got chosen too. That's what it says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter writes to Christians here, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you should proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That passage says we are a chosen race. And so, again, this idea that God chooses us. And you may say, well, wait a minute. I thought I chose Him. I thought, you know, I had free will, and I decided I was going to choose God. And the Bible, in some sense, teaches both. And I can't fully understand it all. All right? And I'm not going to even try to explain, because I don't have an explanation. If you want more on this, there's actually that Right Now Media, that video where we have video access. There's R.C. Sproul wrote something on Chosen by God. And so, you know, you want more heavy-duty stuff, listen to that. But I am content to say, okay, God, I don't understand this. How can You choose us? But when I thought I chose You, you know, and there's this whole debate theologians have about who is God in control? Is He sovereign? Yes. But did He give us free will to choose? And yes. Okay. So how does that work together? All right. And I can't explain it. I grew up, as I mentioned, in Cambridge, and I was hoping to go into a technical career, but I did eventually end up in engineering school and things like that. And when I was going to engineering school, they didn't have computers. Okay, I know I'm pretty old, but you know, they had slide rules. Okay, I don't know if you heard of those things, but you know, that's how we did calculations, with slide rules. And so today I am in awe of these computers, how you could Google something and get all this information like just like that. And it's like, how does that work? And to be honest, I don't know how it works. It just works, right? That's all I know. And maybe some of you guys know more about this and how exactly what happens. I just accept it, all right? I just accept it. And so maybe in theological things, there's something beyond my comprehension that only God knows, and maybe I'll ask Him when I see Him. But He's telling to us that I have chosen you. And so third point was God's choice of me, right? God's choice of me. That we need to understand God has chosen us to be His children if we are Christians. And if we're not Christians, He has chosen us also to hear His word as well. So there are two more passages I want to connect to this, and they're printed in your program. Wasn't read, but look at Luke chapter 8, verse 19 and 21. And again, it's in your program. And this is describing Jesus, an incident in Jesus' life. It says, "Then His mother and His brothers came to Him, but they could not reach Him because of the crowd. And He was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But He answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" So here it is. You know, Jesus is in a place where He's probably doing teaching, and there's a crowd around Him. So His family, His mother, Mary, and He had brothers as well. It says that they try to come in to see Him. But Jesus, it says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And so, he's not trying to diss his family, okay? He is saying, those who hear the word of God and do it are very blessed as well. As blessed as his real physical mother, Mary, and his brothers. That's what he's saying, right? And so we may think that Mary was this really special person, really unique, all that kind of thing. And Jesus brings it down to us and says, you hear the word of God and you do it. Those, you're going to be in my family. You are my mother and brothers, okay? It's those who hear the word and obey it, it's even closer than a physical kind of connection, okay? And so, look at the second passage there. Same idea. Luke 11, 27 to 28. And as he said these things, that is Jesus, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast of which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And again, he's not dissing his mother. You know, because this mother, this woman cries out, says, oh, your mother is so, must be so happy, so proud to have a child like you, you know, in some sense, right? But Jesus is saying, you know, she was blessed, but you can be just as blessed as her, as Mary. That if you hear the word and keep it. And that's something that applies to each and every one of us. Because we are given the word of God, right? And do we obey it? Do we keep it? Do we believe it? And I recognize that there may be some people who are not Christians here who may, but you're halfway there because you're hearing the word of God right now, all right? And it's not enough just to hear it. It says that we need to obey it, keep it, do it, all right? And so we need to respond as one. So that's the last point, my response. What is my response? And maybe the best verse I could give to you is John chapter 1, verse 12, where John talks about the Word made flesh. Okay? That Jesus is the Word, that is, He's the expression of God. He became a human being. And in John 1, verse 12, he says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That is, he allows those people who believe in Jesus, believe in his name, that they are given the right to become the children of God. And I don't know if you understand that, but that's an awesome privilege. Children of God. I was in awe in grade school of the son of the principal, right? And I said, wow, that's really awesome. But you could be the son and daughters of God. How? It says, you have to receive him. That is, like we do at Christmas time, we give gifts. And God is offering you his free gift of salvation. He says, not by earning it, by doing things. I've done it for you. I give it to you as a gift. You need to, by faith, receive it. And so, if you're not a Christian at this point, you could do that today and become his child. That God has chosen you to hear his word, and you will consummate that in some sense by believing it. And obeying it. But if you are a Christian already, God wants you to respond just like Mary did. Alright? That he wants you to hand over your life, in some sense, to God. Now, think back to me with me a few weeks ago to the missions conference. And I don't know if I wasn't here at that service, but George Murray was the speaker. I don't know if you remember that. And in Chinatown, he asked people to respond. And he had like a little card that he wanted people to sign, basically. And basically it was signing your life away to God and saying, okay, any place, anywhere, whatever, so come up and get this card. And in Chinatown, lots of people came up. I would say, you know, over 100, okay, people came up and got the card. But I also recognize that some people didn't sign the card because they recognized, oh, this is like signing my life. I'm giving God control over my life. All right? And yes, I'm a Christian. I want to go to heaven, but I want to have control over my own life. I want to be in charge. And by signing, you're saying, no, I'm going to let God take control of my life. And so maybe you didn't sign. You're still struggling with it. Maybe it's on your desk somewhere and like God is like gnawing at you and you're trying to count the cost and you haven't done that. I want to point to you to Mary. When Mary was revealed about, she was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, and the angel said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And so Mary responded by saying, "Okay, I'm just a servant of the Lord. Whatever you want in my life, let it happen." And so maybe, again, you didn't sign that thing, but you have another opportunity. Did you understand God's love and mercy toward you? I hope that you will respond by what I would call true worship, by offering your life as a living sacrifice to God. So why don't we just bow in prayer? And before we pray, maybe just give an opportunity for people to talk to God. Number one, if you're not a Christian, that God is offering you the free gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can receive it or we can reject it. And so God wants us to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would be saved. And so if you haven't done that, you can do that right now and tell God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be punished, but Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place, died for my sins, and I hereby trust in Him. But if you are a Christian already, maybe you've been trying to live your life your own way. You say that Jesus is your King, but He's sort of this King that really doesn't have much power or control. But if you want to make Him the real King of your life, that He would be your King and you would be His servant, then you can also respond to Him at this point as well. So give you all a minute to do that, and then I'll pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Mary. In some ways, she's very unique. She's a person that is chosen by you to bear the Messiah into this world. And yet, she's also an example to all of us as well. That as the Word of God is revealed to her, she obeyed it. She believed in it. And Father, there are different people at different stages in their spiritual life, some who have not taken that step of faith, and pray that they would indeed receive your free gift, particularly at this Christmas time, that this is indeed your gift to us, and we need to receive it by faith. We also recognize that there are people who have not given you full control over their lives, that they're wrestling with you in some sense for control. Pray that they can learn from Mary to offer themselves as a servant, to allow you to do whatever is necessary in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God gives us the opportunity to express our love for Him and also an opportunity to participate with Him in His kingdom purposes. If you are not a Christian or BCC is not your home church, please let the offering bag pass.
Her King.
Sunday we had the opportunity to celebrate and praise God for His choosing, as we just talked about, His choosing and granting salvation to 8 of our brothers and sisters here at BCEC. Two of them, Stephanie Lam and Janelle Kwan, are from New Community. And this morning we'd like to give them their certificate and a gift. So Stephanie and Janelle, please come on up. Janelle getting baptized, and all of us New Community people, and here's Stephanie.
Okay.
Next. Video.
Little land.
awesome, amazing, so much fun. Those are the comments that I heard. And I had people come and thank me, parents and kids and adults. And I want to pass those thanks to you and to God because we did it together. I stand as amazed by what happened yesterday as all of you. Maybe more so because of all the little things that had to happen in order to make it come together. And it was just an amazing experience. Because we had this, you know, idea. We imagined that we would transform our church into this marketplace back in Bible times. And we did it. You could see the stable behind me. And we wanted to invite family and friends to come and experience the true meaning of Christmas, and they came. So we want to praise God because He answered our prayers and He blessed us beyond what we imagined. Now, let me give you some stats. At one point, if you were downstairs at the reception, we had over 275 people in the basement singing Christmas carols and meeting people and enjoying refreshments and having a great time. 100 kids came. They were bright, happy, excited. And they were accompanied by 104 adults, moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends. In total, we had 204 guests. They were made up of 69 families, split between English, Cantonese, and Mandarin-speaking families. 28 of those families, or 40% of them, lived in the near vicinity and proximity and neighborhood of our church. Thank you for inviting them to come. As for helpers, you see this group photo we had? We had over 75 staff come yesterday at the celebration and also Friday for setup. You can, everyone just helped out in every way. There were so many additional people who prayed, who brought food, who donated supplies, which you can pick up in the back, by the way. Thank you for helping in so many ways, big and small. They all really mattered. And I hope that and pray that we continue to follow up and we continue to share the meaning of Jesus with all those around us. And I just want to testify to His blessings that we experience what it means to be one community, one body in Christ across our three congregations, that we experience the power of God to answer our prayer and to work through us and in us. And He has humbled us to commit all that we are and all that we do for Him. So thank you for your support and your partnership in serving, and may all glory be to God.
Right. I echo that too, that we could see God at work, truly at work, and it was just a wonderful experience to everyone involved. Some announcements. So Christmas Eve service is on Christmas Eve, and it will be in Chinatown. So in Newton, there'll be a bilingual Chinese service. So if you're English speaking, please join us in Chinatown for the Christmas Eve service. Next. CBT classes continue. I have one more class next week, and then I'll be off for 2 weeks. So, and then resume in January 11th. And then the other classes, and then also the midweek men's group. Next. We have youth ministries and children ministries and English language learning, which is also coming to an end for this semester. Next. We continue to encourage everyone, if you're not part of a small group, to join a small group. There are co-ed groups, men's groups, and women's groups. Please see the Pastor Tom or Edna, or talk to various people who are in small groups that might still be open and looking for people to join. And we'd love to pray with you or for you. And so after service, if you'd like that, join me over here on the site. And one more announcement. Some of you know Faith Wong and Faith and Jerry from way long ago. Her dad, Elder, who was an elder here, Elder Raymond Wong, passed away. And his memorial service is this week. If you're interested in attending, please talk to Lillian. Okay. With that, Pastor Steve will come for the benediction.
All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give praise and thanks to you for the example of Mary, how she was chosen by you and she had faith and obedience to you. And Father, that we also can be blessed by you through your Son, and that as you reveal your word to us, help us also to do it as well. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to hear and to respond to your word. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.